We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Gonna bring on Omar Kelly here in a second, though. Top of the hour, though. What do we do at the top of the hour, Crowder?
Try to give away money.
Even on a holiday weekend.
Huh.
Even on a holiday weekend.
Thank us. Can you say that? Thank us?
Thank us.
I was going to say thank you, but it was us. I got caught in the air.
Thank us. I want that to be our new thing. Hockman and Crowder, thank us. That's a great slogan for the show. If they ever do billboards,
like
Hockman and Crowder, thank us.
I'm riding
560 WQAM.
Let's get matching tattoos.
Time for your chance, Flair is talking to you. Time for your chance to win $1,000, the 560 WQAM signing bonus contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word PET, PET, P-E-T, to 72881. Text it right now. I have a feeling, by the way, if you're listening, because it's, you know, holiday weekend has begun. It's all over the country, and this is a nationwide contest. There's not as many people listening right now, I would imagine, as there normally are at 4 o'clock on a Friday, because people got the show. Now might be your better chance to win because less people are texting in.
I like the strategy.
So text the word PET to 72881 and you are registered. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 5 o'clock. This is a national contest, like I said. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Text the word PET right now to 72881.
Is it just animals? Because when I was younger, you used to say we did some heavy petting.
Heavy petting.
Is that still a something?
I don't know. Do they say that, Falero? Heavy petting?
No, because I don't know what that means. am I petting the
but
dog?
But I'm not necessarily certain that that he should be the barometer of knowing what heavy petting is.
I got you. Not a lot of opportunities in his life. Yeah.
Oh, it's sexual?
Yeah. You only left the house to go to school, huh?
Here is Omar Kelly on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Omar.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, OTA started. You got to witness some of it, right? Anything mm-hmm. from this week at the Dolphins facility that you found to be interesting, intriguing, or everything kind of go as planned?
Everything went as planned. I think usually the theme of OTAs is that the defense is drastically ahead of the offense, and even though they weren't blitzing, I was pleasantly surprised with how good the offensive line seemingly looked. You know, usually it's basically a turnstile, and you get would-be sacks. You get probably about 6 to 8 would-be sacks per practice. That's just the norm since I've been covering the Dolphins, and that wasn't the case during the first practice that we saw. The lining from first to third team line looked respectable. Now, does that mean that the defensive line is no good? No, because it's no pads, but and it's still super early. And Matt Burke was not blitzing, so maybe it was just one day. But you know, they looked decent.
Oh, you know, you can't find out about those fat boys till they got pads on. Everybody can lock their elbows out and grab a man's jersey.
Yeah, that I usually the only thing, you know, what people don't realize is that OTA practices, it's like watching flag football without the flags. That's how I would sort of kind of explain it to people. And truth be told, you can learn a lot during it, but it's mostly passing game stuff. But I will say there were a couple of good, respectable running lanes, primarily for Kenyon Drake, that I was just like, oh, look at that. That you know, it looked like a respectable offensive line.
That's cool. And like you said, the open field stuff, you can see the coverage. You got to know I got to ask mm-hmm. you about my linebackers. Kiko's still tiny. Jerome Baker's running a 4.2, and Raekwon McMillan looks like Patrick Willis. Are all three of those correct?
Raekwon McMillan, I wouldn't put Raekwon McMillan
Patrick
Willis.
I was joking, but does he look good? I heard he looks the part of a middle linebacker.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with linebackers until they got pads on. You know that, Crowder.
I
mean, It's like you see them running up the guys and, you know, tapping them, and guys would probably run by them. You know, the whole point of a linebacker is actually to get the guy on the ground. Well, you know, the one time they actually, like, people were on the ground, all you heard were F-bombs by coaches, like, stay the bleep up, stay the bleep up. So, that's OTAs. Like you wanna get people angry, like, go to the ground. And that's when you'll really learn, you know, what OTAs is about. It's flag football. It's hard to tell. I will say this. I'm really concerned, or not really concerned. I'm really curious about the linebackers. The tight ends. And based on what I saw, the tight ends weren't an issue against these linebackers in the day that I saw it. And then maybe they come alive during the red zone day. But, yeah, that to me was a little bit, a thumbs up for the linebackers, thumbs down for the tight ends. I don't know how that makes you feel, but, you know, that's the way I saw it.
Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel is with us. Forget about the linebackers and the tight ends. I want to know about 17. Ryan Tannehill, this is the key to the season. And everybody from social media, from what I read, looked like he looked good back there.
He looked like Ryan Tannehill always does. I wouldn't say good, but he looked like Ryan Tannehill. Athletic, which was probably the biggest pleasant surprise. I mean, he wasn't wearing a brace. He probably won't wear a brace until it's game day. And he said basically that's just to prevent the side blows that he took that cost him basically two seasons. And he was athletic. They did bootleg stuff. You know, he threw accurate passes. Maybe his decisions were a notch up quicker than what they had been. But would I say he threw some sensational passes? No, but it was day two of practice for them that we saw. And you know, this is the first week of OTAs. It's a long journey. So I'm not formulating any conclusions, but he's in great spirits. He's happy. He's been cleared to play, no limitations, and hopefully he can develop a little bit more chemistry with these weaponry and have better protection, and it'll help him become the quarterback that he still has the potential to be.
Oh, seeing the first couple of days of OTAs and talking to Adam Gase, I know you do get a chance to sit down with him. How, if any, is he changing his approach to this upcoming year than the first two?
I think he's a little bit more adamant about running his offense and running his style and being up-tempo. I don't think, you know, we haven't seen Adam Gase's offense, and it's strange to say that, and I know that this is a fact. We have not seen what his vision or what his intentions of his offense have been, because he's always had to dial it down, or he's always had to play to the strengths of what the offense was when they had Jay Ajayi and that power rushing attack. And that just, he was never ever comfortable with that. He wants to run a fast-paced, up-tempo offense like you saw Peyton Manning run in Denver. Now, can he do that? My vote is no. But he just is adamant about it. And, you know, I'm curious to see if he can actually deliver, because, you know, that style of offense, you got to be good on third downs. They've been horrible on third downs. That style of offense, you got to get to an early lead. They've been horrible getting to an early lead. That style of offense can't put pressure. You know, you got to be successful, or it's going to put pressure on your defense. Well, the defense has tanked out the last 2 years at the end of the season. So, you know, I know where he's coming from in terms of his intention and his vision. To me, it's all about the execution, and I just don't buy into that.
How was the vibe at OTAs? This is a pretty new team, right? I mean, the real veteran leadership faces, you know, and veteran Jarvis Landry, four seasons, that's a veteran right there. Mike Pouncey, obviously, and Ndamukong Suh commands presence, you know, commands respect wherever he is. It had to feel very different, I would imagine.
I don't know if it feels different. I think we spent too much time in the first week of OTAs talking about what was lost and who's gone, and, you know, how are you going to fill the Ndamukong Suh role, you know, shoes and all that kind of stuff. And these players don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that people think that they're the team that made the least improvement on paper. They just want to go out there and they want to be able to work and they want to be able to think that they have a winner and can put together a winning season. And I will say this in their to their benefit. I didn't think this team was very good talent-wise in 2016, and they shut me the hell up, shut everybody else in the nation the hell up. And I would argue to you that this team might have as much, if not more, talent on in certain areas than that 2016 team. So we don't know. Nobody knows. So, but you know, the things that I noticed that was different is the veteran presence, Josh Sitton and Danny Amendola, in particular. You know, Amendola, man, he made, I wrote a story about it. He made two mistakes during an OTA practice, and he was F-bombing himself and throwing his helmet against the gate and just destroying himself for making mistakes in day two of OTAs. And I was just like, boy, this guy is tightly wound.
Oh, can you simplify, let me get the wording right, the NFL anthem policy. Can you simplify it for me? And I want to know your thoughts on its effectiveness.
To simplify, don't embarrass us by kneeling on the field and creating a scene. Stay behind in the locker room. And if you're going to be on the field, then basically what to me what it's doing is forcing players' hands. Either if you're going to be on the field, stand or do something else, because our rule is very vague and it doesn't clarify what is allowed and what isn't allowed. So smart players or players intent. Here's the thing. Before Donald Trump basically called them sons of you-know-what, the protests were all about done. Then it got life again when he called them, you know, when he basically used them to be divisive. And that's all it's really doing. I've said this from the very beginning last year. Okay, we have lost what the kneeling has been about. It has been hijacked by people who want to claim it's unpatriotic, un-American, when it's really about advocating for social justice. Okay, you want to get your message across by focusing on figuring out a way to change the protest so that it cannot be no misinterpretation. Raise your fists in the air. You know, nod your head and raise your fist in the air, just like the Olympians did. That still gets the message across.
Yeah, I was going to say that because they act like the players now are going to say, oh, they got us. Oh, yeah, oh, they made the policy. Aren't they going to just move the bar? Hey, guys, we got their attention. They made a policy. Now we really need to hit them.
Here's my thing about this, and I'm glad you asked me this question, because changing the policy is not even as effective as blackballing Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Like, that's way more effective than changing the policy. It discourages young players. I remember when the protests were first started, and I was sitting in the cornerback room, area of the room, and they were just having a conversation, because you know how I blend in, Shannon. So we just having a conversation, not like.
Oh, you think like they look over and they be like, oh yeah, he's the new guy from Detroit.
who brought Devon Best back?
So you know, I've been there long enough, so some guys will let me in the conversation, and because they know I'm not going to write anything. And the whole gist of the conversation is, yeah, we went to a man. We wish we could have protested, but I ain't got Kaepernick's money. Yeah. So this is literally like, and I've called names. Bobby McCain's like, I ain't got Kaepernick's money. That time he was on his second year of his rookie deal. Like, he's like, I'm trying to get paid. I can't make no protest.
Yeah.
Like, because the man is going to clamp down on me. And literally that's the message that the NFL has sent to these protesters. Generally, if we could touch you, we gonna touch you. And you don't want to be touched by us financially in a league where your career does not last very long and you don't make that much money. And the money that you do make, it's not really certain that we're going to honor all those years. So to me, you know, the anthem protest, it's been hijacked. When you have taken an L, recognize you've taken an L. It's like losing the first quarter. If you try to run the ball and they put an 8-man in the box, and then you just continue to try to run the ball in the second quarter, in the third quarter, all you're doing is running into a brick wall. How about you change your approach a little bit? And I think that that's the mistake that the NFLPA has done, because they want to be so stubborn about it. We're kneeling. Okay, well, the conservatives, the people who say you're being anti-American because they want to avoid the real conversation, how about you stop trying to run into an eight-man box and you adjust your approach to get your message across, the intended message, the message that, you know, is clear as day to me, considering every morning I wake up and there's some issue of racism or social injustice that's impacting people of color every single day. Literally, it's every single day. And I wake up and I tweet it out just to show people these are new things every single day. We are not living in the same America.
I think it's well said. I think I think what you said there was very well said, because what happened is, and you know, we're having fun today, so we're not going to go too far deep. But when something gets labeled or characterized early on, I've said to Crowder a number of times, the moment Richie Incognito, that incident got characterized as bullying rather than hazing. Yeah. When it became bullying, it became an Oprah story. Had it been initially called hazing, no one would have cared, because there's a million hazing stories. We all go, wow, that's bad, and we move on. But it got characterized as something. This got characterized by the right as a flag protest or an anthem protest. And I just want to say, I saw a tweet today that I thought was perfect. It said, Rosa Parks was not protesting the bus. Gandhi was not protesting the food. The colonists were not protesting tea. Players are not protesting the flag or the anthem. They are protesting injustice. But it got characterized as that, and that's what it is forever known as. And you're right. There is no getting out of that.
There is no getting out of that. You need to call an audible. You need to adjust. And if you fail to adjust, then you lose. That simple solution. You took an L. You're taking an L in every facet of this situation. Players who are good players don't even have jobs because they protested. Now the league, the league gave you money for social justice and awareness. That's just PR stunt. What they did is they just ignored you and basically said, without even voting, we're going to prevent you from protesting, from kneeling. So if you want to kneel, you're going to have to stay in the locker room, or your team is subjected to a fine. And you can't do anything about it as Players Association. So, and collectively, you aren't even that strong of a union, so y'all ain't going to collectively do nothing. So stop trying to win that battle and change your approach.
Omar Kelly, read his work in the Sun Sentinel. Have a nice holiday weekend, Omar.
All right, guys.
Hey, so what's the Dolphins schedule coming up, too? So they have OTAs next week?
Yeah, OTAs next week. Wednesday is the practice that the media is allowed to watch.
All right.
We get one sneak peek per week.
All right. And I guess Ryan Tannehill, Brock Osweiler, and Bryce Petty and David Fales. That's the quarterback foursome that we're keeping our eyes on.
Well, there's only really one quarterback that matters, but I will admit I was impressed with David Fales this week. So, but we'll see. Brock Osweiler did his thing too. So I said this last week and I'll say this week. If Ryan Tannehill isn't good, don't you want to suck?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know about that.
I know what you're saying.
To get a higher draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's that makes the whole reset easier. Like, because you're not going
to. Yeah.
You can't do a Band-Aid with Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, where do you think you're going with Brock Osweiler? It's the same thing as Jay Cutler, if not worse. If Ryan Tannehill isn't going to be good, or if he suffers an injury, why not just be bad?
Yeah, it's the suck for luck year. I mean, you know, they went to Matt Moore and then kind of ruined the next decade.
If Tannehill sucks, I'm going to look back and not trading up one spot for Josh Rosen.
Oh, no, especially if Josh Rosen balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't have drafted Josh Rosen.
But if Tannehill garbage, they had a guy right there. Arizona came from 15 to 10. They could have went from 11 to 10.
They didn't want that guy. So that guy's the one guy they didn't want.
Oh, he has that affluenza. He had too affluenza. Much money growing up.
Oh, I know why they didn't want him. I see. All right, Omar Kelly.
I don't think it works that way in the NFL, does it?
Yeah, in the NFL it does. All right, see ya, Omar.
I guess.
Omar Kelly. We went a little long there. We'll get back into the fun stuff here in a moment. I mean, let me talk to you about BNT Services before we move on. BNT Services, a lot of rain expected this weekend, too. BNT Services, my wife and I, we've made the leap, and we've got impact windows and doors for the house. You know, hurricane season starts on June 1st. We were motivated to do it fall? I forget the seasons down here. What are we going into right now?
Hurricane season.
But what are we going into right now? What
fall?
We're going into fall now.
No, we're in summer now.
No, we're heading into fall football. We're in summer now. We're heading into fall.
We just started
correct?
Summer.
Is summer okay. of summer's not even officially on, is it? I actually think Memorial Day isn't that like the technical start of summer.
All right.
Well, anyway. So what was before this is my question, because that's the season that we decided to get the hurricane, the
winter?
Impact windows and doors. It was winter? Yeah, I guess so, because school was on. All right. Is this a radio interception?
Either winter, spring, summer, or fall.
We don't know.
Strong.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Well, you just said we're going into fall. It's May.
I thought we were going falling off. Spring forward, fall back.
Fall off.
When do the clocks change?
They did already.
Well, there you go.
And they won't again until October, I don't think.
Mm.
Well, my wife and I finally decided to get really good impact windows and doors for the house. We had put it off for 7 years, but last hurricane season kind of shocked us back into reality. We called BNT Services. And Tom and Brett came out to the house. They helped us pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Hopefully you've had more coherent thoughts about it than we just had about the season.
We're in spring.
We are in spring. And yeah. When does summer start officially?
June 21st.
All right. Look at that. We still got a ways to go before summer, fella. So maybe you've been thinking about impact windows and doors for your house. Get everything in place and start with that phone call to BNT Services. They specialize in impact windows and doors with over 25 years experience. Their staff will help you pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors that work best for you. The process is amazing. You get hooked up in their Builder Trend portal, so you get a username and a password. Then you could sign in. You could see exactly where you are in the process. The permitting, the progress of the job. There's a daily calendar you can look at so you know exactly how the project is progressing. It really is a pleasure. Don't wait any longer. Call BNT Services. Start your holiday weekend by making a call before they're closed today, making a call and get the ball rolling. Call BNT Services 954-233-0126. It's 954-233-0126 or go online bntwindowsanddoors.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Ooh, what is this? Sade?
Yes, it is.
Rainy Friday afternoon.
My wife loves Sade.
Everyone does. You tell me someone that doesn't.
Sade's ex-husband. Can't stand that damn woman.
Voice sounds like a fingernails on a chalkboard.
That can't happen. The most beautiful voices, their exes hate on them. Like Tom Brady's baby mama.
I'm sure.
Tom Brady's
they
baby
have
mama.
They
she,
have to.
She doesn't think he's a good quarterback
nope.
because he's not with
That's
her.
That's right. Overrated.
You know?
Yes. Overrated.
Like the girl in middle school with LeBron. Oh, he's okay.
He's falling off soon.
With me? Like, if he'd have stayed with me?
He'd
if
have been
he picked
big
me
time.
Over Savannah?
He'd been big time.
Oh, he would have been Jordan.
Cavs, by the way, are down to -6.5 tonight. So people are putting a little money on Boston. It was -7 when the show started. Now it's Cavs -6.5. Let's see if the J.R. Smith line
It's the
changed.
Thought I have, because you're saying the thought of LeBron getting knocked off. I think it's going to be matched by the thought of Boston beating LeBron and going to the finals. I think Boston's going to come out with a lot of energy tonight.
The LeBron over-under on points, by the way, is up to 36.5. He's got to score 37 points to hit the over. That's crazy.
Do you still like it?
I don't like his over. I like the J.R. Smith over 9.5.
Goodness gracious.
How about Kevin Love?
What is he, 12?
17.5.
Oh, no way in the hell.
Let's go.
No way in the hell.
Really?
Kevin Love?
Someone's got to have a big game other than LeBron at some point in this series, right?
What's the LaNance Jr.? What's his numbers?
I don't Somebody think got they do ball. Props on him.
Or Tristan?
Tristan Thompson, 8.5 is the over-under on points.
I want to get. He's not going to get 10 points.
I mean, that's a crapshoot. Tristan Thompson, that's a crapshoot.
If you know which guy's going to ball out, you can pick him because it's not. They're not big numbers. But we don't know. We picked J.R. Smith at 8, and he got 2.
There's no Kyle Korver props because Ty Lue forgot to use them in the last game, and so you don't know what's going to happen. They tricked Ty Lue. But I would say someone has to score more than 20 points in addition to LeBron. It's either going to be Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver.
That's it.
George Hill.
J.R. can get to 20. Oh,
Jeff
no, George.
Green, maybe. I don't know.
They don't use Jeff Green. They don't play him a lot.
What are you going to use with him?
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what exactly do you want to do with Jeff Green?
When he gets in, he goes and dunks every time.
Maybe, I don't think so. You're watching a different Jeff Green.
Maybe let him do that some more. He's
That's
athletic. He jumps.
Jason
no,
Tatum.
Man, I'm the boy that heart blew up. That's Jeff Green,
I
right?
Think, I think you're watching a different series,
Jeff
man.
Green's the boy. His heart messed up back a couple years ago, and he couldn't play back. That's
correct,
him.
Correct.
Jeff Green's athletic. Y'all, don't act like I'm crazy.
I decided.
Don't act like I'm crazy.
After watching Jeff Green and Gerald Green, I hate all players whose last name is a color. They're frustrating.
Reggie White.
Oh, Reggie White. That's an exception. Okay. That's the exception right there. All right, we're going to get back into some of our best of stuff because we were playing some of our funnier moments and exciting, what did I call them before? Not best of, I called it...
Moments we re something.
moments that are worthy of a revisit.
We're real wordy. We need to work on it.
Because I feel like best of is a little too heavy-handed, isn't it?
I don't know. It hits it on the head.
We're trying to have some fun heading into Memorial Day weekend. I know it's rainy out there, so be careful driving. But we'll play some other stuff to hopefully make you laugh or think or cry as we continue on for another hour and a half here.
If there was a food best of, it would be at Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market.
Beginning, middle, and end.
Right there. They've been in the Hollywood, Florida area since 1951, owned and operated by the same wonderful family, Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. It is a tradition to thousands of South Florida families. If you're not going, you're the one missing out. Get down to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441 one block south of Sterling Road. You got to go to DelawareChicken.com to see what they have. I love it all. I love the fish dip, the crab dip, the conch salad, bean salad, potato salad, macaroni salad, the free-range eggs, the lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, and turkey, lobsters, bunch of different types of shrimp, 20 different species of fish. I love fish, some filleted, some whole, some smoked, but they have it all. Go to DelawareChicken.com. Alligator meat, frog legs, escargot, venison, ostrich, everything you can think of. Go to DelawareChicken.com. See exactly what you want. Call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Your order will be packaged and ready when you get there. Save you time. They're going to save you money with prices like Danish baby back ribs, only $4.99 a pound. Grass-fed ground beef, $9.99 a pound. Angus brisket burgers, only $8.99 a pound. And the gourmet stuffed clams, I love them, $2.19 each. And you got to try the hot Italian sausage, only $6.99 a pound. That's all I eat for breakfast. It is delicious, guys. Go to DelawareChicken.com. Find out what you want, and then go down there and get it. You will love it. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. When you get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
Radio.com. It's a tradition of ours on holiday weekends. Play some best ofs and have some scintillating sports talk as well. We do it all. Like we know everybody's driving home right now for the holiday weekend. So I want to play this segment for everybody because we thought this was funny when it originally happened. We had who was on the show with us, Valero?
Justice Winslow.
Justice Winslow joined me and Crowder, and in the interview, Crowder called him Justin. Well, no, we called him Josh.
Called him Josh. Right, and corrected like, it.
Yeah,
to Justin.
He was. I think he wanted to ask something about Josh Richardson, but he called Justice Josh. Then he corrected it by calling him Justin. So this is later in the show, right, where I'm making fun of Crowder for doing that.
Correct.
So this is later in the show. I'm making fun of Crowder for doing that. Then it evolves into when Crowder had Venus or Serena Williams on with him. He didn't know which it was, and then somehow it devolves into me. Fawning over Jessica Blaylock inexplicably, and this is how it transpired on the air. So we had Justice Winslow on in the last hour, and we played for you, Crowder. He accidentally called him Josh and then corrected it by saying Justin, which was funny on its own. I mean, it was just... Play that again. This is Crowder mistakenly calling Justice Winslow Josh and then correcting it incorrectly.
They're a little more excited about the older guys because old people don't get excited about nothing, Josh. I mean, Justin.
A little nervous laugh there by Justice Winslow. This reminds us of another time, another era, if you will. So Crowder used to host the midday show with Adam Cooperstein on this station. He used to be Coop and Crowder. And it was just 2 hours, 1 to 3. And Coop, who was a newscaster, would cut it close coming in every show, right?
He was always here at, what was it, 12:55.
12:55.
Like, yeah, running up the stairs.
Show would start at 1. And Crowder, without his...
homeboy.
Radio leader.
We had... It was the tennis thing down here. What's
I
that
think it was the Lipton back then, but the Miami Open.
Yeah, and they were like, hey, they called us. It was like 12:30.
You had found out earlier in the day that Serena was joining you. Serena Williams was joining you. So Serena, they tell you, and I think Coop even set it up, right?
Coop set it up, planned it. He said, hey, get there. She's calling right at 1.
Right at 1 o'clock, you guys are going to open your show with Serena Williams.
And we're excited. This is when they were at the top of their prime. This is big.
Even now. I mean, Serena Williams, that's an A-list guest for a sports radio station.
Yes.
And so she's going to come on the show. And Crowder.
I walk in the studio, walk in the production side.
He's waiting.
Hey, where's Coop? Say, he's not here. But Serena's on the line. I was like, so Serena's here, but Coop's not?
This is like 2 minutes before the show starts.
Yeah it's 12:58. They said, well, we got to go. I said, well, what are we going to do? They said, Coop, we're going to go.
Coop's not going to be there. You've got to handle the show.
So I had to pick it up. You know what I'm saying? I'm a closer.
Well, no, not
Sandman,
really.
Sandman. Mariano Rivera.
Here's the sound. It's none of those. It's none of those. Are you delusional?
Mariano Rivera.
So Serena is on the line. Serena Williams is on the line.
Yep.
Crowder is left to his own devices. Coop is not there. And here is Crowder bringing on the air Serena Williams.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Now, there's several things that are wrong there.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Again, a couple things wrong there.
The name.
Serena.
I got the name.
Serena. Yeah. You said Venus.
We came to that conclusion.
And then you came out of the box with a really, really tough question.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, that's a little my Jim Rome sneaking out.
What's up?
There was also a clap in there.
I mean, no you know, Ed settled down. I settled down my guests. We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
I would have hung the hell up.
See, I'm trying. That's like buying a guest a drink. Don't
no,
walk
it's
up and just
like
dive
that.
On them. You got, hey, man, buy you a drink. You got to slowly let them into the interview.
Nothing
This is a interview drink buy. We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
You did clap. I never noticed that until Valero just pointed out. You clapped.
I was jacked up.
That is the lamest thing I have ever heard on sports radio. That is That is so unfathomably lame. I can't even, because you guys have made fun of me. Who'd we have on? Jessica Blaylock.
And so exciting.
And I go, and I go, oh, Jessica Blaylock, this is exciting. And you guys have rode me for years about that. That's 1,000 times lamer. A clap. You gave a J.J. Walker clap when Big Daddy was walking up to the... Did you have that Jessica Blaylock sound?
I'm finding it, finding it.
Yeah, find that, because this is not a proud moment for me, because I was too excited. This is exciting. But, man, that clap, that is so lame. I can't...
What's up? We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up? Venus, what's up?
He clapped.
It's like that exciting.
So excited, man.
That like is, when you win, you know, you pull the slot machine
tremendous.
And ding, 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 ding. Woo!
That is.
What's up?
It was like you pulled the slot machine of radio guests and it came up Venus, Venus, Venus. And so, I got myself a jackpot. Do you have the Jessica Blaylock sound?
Let's talk a little bit of Marlins, though, because I could talk Panthers.
Let's do it.
I could talk Panthers all day. We had Don Mattingly.
I did too. I love it.
Well, this is exciting.
Mine's lamer.
Mine's lamer. Well, this is exciting. Mine's lamer when you hear it with the entire context.
Let's talk a little bit of Marlins, though, because I could talk Panthers.
Let's do it.
I could talk Panthers all day. We had Don Mattingly.
I did too. I love it.
Well, this is exciting. Oh my God, is that lame? That is so lame. Oh my God, I am cringing. Oh my God, is that lame? And yours is lame. That is to another level.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Nah, that clap is pretty lame. That clap.
I did it, man.
Oh, my God. That is too lame. Two examples of radio lameness.
They're a little more excited about the older guys because old people don't get excited about nothing, Josh. I mean, Justin.
Justin. Justin. Justin Winslow.
I don't like people that change their names close to a normal name. I don't like that. Change your name to something off the wall. Don't just add a letter or two to a normal name. I don't like it.
This is exciting.
Let's talk a little bit of Marlins, though, because I could talk
Panthers. Let's do it.
I could talk Panthers all day. We had Don Mattingly.
I did too. I love it.
Well, this is exciting. If I never heard that again, I'd be thrilled. I know I'll hear it at the end of the show now, but if I never heard that again, I would be thrilled. Wow, I hate myself.
You pulled the excitement out of you.
That is just brutal. No, it was because there was a female on the line. There was no excitement. Like, it's exactly everything that you've made fun of me about. Only because there was a female on the line. Whatever she said, oh, this is exciting.
You changed, man.
Let's talk a little bit of Marlins, though, because I could
put
a clap in
there.
I could talk Panthers all day. We had Don Mattingly.
I did too. I love it.
Well, this is exciting. Made myself a duet.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
He clapped. That's super lame. I got to tell you, that's so lame. We got Venus, Venus Williams. All right.
All right.
You didn't do anything. Like, you clap when you do something. You know, like, you have an interception. Or you're like, let's do that. You didn't do anything.
I brought Venus Williams on.
No, Serena called. Serena called. It wasn't even Venus.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up? I think at the end, I snapped and shot her a finger gun and winked. Yeah. There you go. What's your name again?
God.
That's your sister. That's your sister.
Somebody texts in. If I crash from laughing, you guys are paying for my medical bills and a new car. Somebody texts in, what did Venus say after? I've never heard the sound. I don't even know if it exists. Do you have any recollection of that interview?
Do you think I know? As soon as I said, what's up, I was planning the next question. I had no thought about what her answer was going to be. We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
At what point did you find out it was Serena?
Actually, she corrected me.
She did good on her.
And she did it nicely. She wasn't like, well, this isn't Venus. It's no, she was a slowly and yeah, well, you know. And then my sister, she kind of brought up her sister. But I do remember in that interview, it was something going on with steroids at the time about another sport. Just about randomly nothing. Somebody got in trouble for steroids.
You brought up steroids with her. She was on to promote her fashion line,
yes,
if I remember.
But it was relevant sports news. She's a stronger woman. She's a well-built woman. I know people question her about it sometimes. It wasn't a great question.
Brutal. I mean, just brutal.
It upset her. It was kind of
I would imagine.
You know what that's called? Called journalism.
No.
Good journalists make the interviewee. Make them a little uncomfortable.
It's called unpreparedness.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up? Then I put the fire to her feet. Is that the phrase? What is the phrase?
I don't know.
The feet to the fire?
I don't know. I'm sweating over my... This is exciting!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.